Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm here moderating today's webinar on sales and marketing during coronavirus. It's not just dealing with consumers that has changed dramatically during the pandemic for companies in the credit collection industry. Companies try and attract new business has also changed significantly as well. Finding new business and promoting an operation is still incredibly important. So we've got a panel of experts here today to talk about how they're doing it and maybe provide some insight and answer your questions on this important topic. Before I introduce our speakers, let me take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts and a Slack channel for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Gary Angelo is a partner at JJ Marshall and Associates. He is currently serving. Are you currently serving or are you done serving as president?
I'm the current president and I was supposed to hand over the reins this week, but it looks like I'm extended for another year.
Oh, well, congratulations. Yeah. He is still serving as president of the Michigan Association of Collection Agencies and sits on the Michigan Collection Practices Board. In addition to his work in the credit collection industry, Garrett mentors high school students through the organization Winning Futures, empowering students to succeed. He graduated from the Eli Broad College of Business at Michigan State University with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Supply Chain Management. Gordon Beck is the president and COO of Valor Intelligent Processing, a new organization in the ARM industry specializing in BPO and third-party collections. Gordon has more than two decades of experience with expertise in the recovery of wireless, landline cable, satellite, internet, VoIP, and financial institutions. Gordon is known as a motivator, educator, and great public speaker in the industry, participating in panels, debates, and several individual speeches at industry-related events, as well as contributing articles and content to several call center publications. Gordon was recently named one of the 50 most influential collection professionals in the industry, and his trademark is driving an unmatched performance through his treatment of his employees and the incredible culture in his call centers. On September 24th, fame, specifically as a result of his accomplishments in the ARM industry. Mary Shores is a second-generation agency owner, best-selling author, and creator of the Collection Advantage online program, which is designed to help collectors create and execute high-converting scripting. She's here today to teach you how to communicate with clients and consumers and keep your revenue flowing amid the pandemic. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing. To submit a question, please enter it into either the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel or type it into the chat module. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. With that, let's launch into our discussion. So first, let's talk about the dynamic between sales and marketing and whether you've noticed any shift in that dynamic. We'll go alphabetically. Garrett, you can kick us off.
Okay. Thank you, Mike, for that introduction. Thank you for having us here today. Yeah, there's certainly been a shift in dynamic during this period, right? So many of us that participate in the business development function are used to going to these traditional marketing events, whether it be conferences, trade shows, exhibition shows, and we're no longer able to do that. We're no longer able to connect in person, and that is what sales is all about, right? So there's been a lot of pressure on connecting authentically via virtual means, or there's been a huge shift online to the digital space, and we're faced with challenges as to how to connect authentically despite not being able to connect in person. And obviously the technology that we have here today helps with that. The other thing I've noticed is, when I have connected both with existing clients and prospects, there's a lot more emphasis just on the sensitivity to the situation and not so much jumping right into business, right? We're catching up on our well-being and how are your families and how are your teams? And we've never been able to relate so much as we are today, right? Because the whole world is going through this crisis. So it's a very easily relatable topic in conversations. So the emphasis doesn't need to be on business right away. There's been a shift in client needs as well, right? A lot of them are resource constraint given the situation. So they're looking at us as partners in the service space to develop solutions that are a little bit outside the box and innovate. And that is very much appreciated from clients during these challenging times. So I'll start with that in terms of what I've seen.
Excellent. Thanks. Gordon, how about you? What have you noticed with the shift in dynamic, the shifting dynamic between sales and marketing during this crisis?
I concur with Garrett. Obviously, the relationships are everything in this industry. And I used to look at things from a marketing perspective as our performance would market the company. And our scorecards would be that marketing material. A lot of people have had impacts, whether it's sending people home to work, trying to navigate the waters of keeping people in your offices. All of these impacts impact performance. But even if the performance is there, at what point do you have the opportunity to get that introduction to that decision maker? You know, where a great friend that you've helped out in the past is going to say, hey, this is the person that you need to share those marketing materials with, those scorecards with. So from A to Z, it's almost like we had to scrap everything we've come to know. And again, as Garrett mentioned, find the need of the client as opposed to building that traditional relationship and going down that 9-month path of the greeting. Yes, we can do the job. Let me get to know you. Let me come out and take you to dinner. That's gone. And who knows when it'll come back. So in the meantime, what we have to do is, hey, find out what clients have what needs and be able to show them how we can fulfill those needs. And it's really going to take a lot of self-introduction. You're not going to get as many of those networking introductions that we're used to. So that's what I've noticed to be the biggest change in dynamics so far.
Thank you. There's definitely a couple of things I want to follow up on with you. But first, we'll give Mary a chance to weigh in on this question. Mary?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I agree with both Garrett and Gordon, everything they said. And what I would add to that is, as far as building those relationships, one of the things that I have noticed, or like right away, I thought, here's our opportunity to gain greater visibility. So we have been really taking a deep dive into things that's like, you know what, you know, when you have that thing that you never get to because you never have time for it, and you know, you'd rather just push sales. So one of the things that we've been doing with our team is actually learning copywriting. And that has been a game changer, because copywriting is not easy to do. It's a different form of writing, but knowing copywriting is a game changer. So what it's done for my team is allowed us to take a deep dive into some subjects that we don't get to touch upon all the time because we're always so busy, like with our day to day. And another thing I would say is, as far as that visibility piece and those relationship building pieces, is that once we started working on copywriting, then we started working on visibility, which meant that there was a lot of opportunity to start building new relationships just by reaching out to people on LinkedIn. I have been booked with meetings more than ever before just because of small touches on LinkedIn. So I think LinkedIn is a huge resource. And to what one of the things that Gordon said was, and I'm just summarizing words he said and kind of putting it in my mind, what is most top of mind right now. So whatever is needed right now is what people are buying. And if it's outside of what is urgently needed right now, it's going to be really difficult to even get a conversation going.
Very interesting. Thank you. I'm going to make some notes here. Gordon, going back, you're talking about this notion of the self-introduction and how important that is. Any tips on how to make a good first impression, how to get, you know, how to make that introduction and make it stick so you can start to establish a dialogue with somebody?
I can tell you a few things. First of all, again, I'm trying to think back to what is it or how is it that I first met this client or that client, getting back to those basics, and what can I do in this environment to copy that without being in person, so to speak. And there is an app out there that's many people have heard of. It's called the Happy Hour app. And it's basically an app that allows a room full of people to chat on FaceTime, a lot like we're doing on this Zoom meeting right now. It's easy to join the app. And I have done three what we call virtual happy hours with potential clients. And I included either through my own introduction or the introduction of my colleague, two or three agencies that are either working for or want to work for that client. And that is what we've been doing to help each other, is if it's my client and there's prospects, or their client and I'm a prospect. But I've done three of these where we literally have cocktails on the Happy Hour app, having a virtual, or, you know, just a virtual, like a virtual happy hour. It's actually, I'm sorry, it's called House Party app. I apologize. I was getting a happy hour and house party mixed, but it's the House Party app. And that to me was it wasn't my idea, but it was a unique idea that we ran with. And it's been a great success. So that's something, you know, kind of creative that is different. People haven't done that before. And everything's the same. You're just not there in flesh and blood. And that is one great way that I've been able to reach out and connect with those that I want to do business with in the same type of environment as we would at a hotel lobby bar, for example.
House Party, that's the name of the app again?
House Party, yes.
For those of you listening. Mary, circling back to something you said in your answer, talking about small touches. Is that something you can share some examples of how that works, or how you're managing that on a platform?
Sure. So I'll just tell you the story of what happened. So I noticed two gals in the industry doing a Zoom call together, and they had put the conversation on one of their LinkedIn profiles. It caught my attention. I thought the conversation did a great job. And then I followed up with a message and said, hey, I think you guys did a great job on this call. I'd love to know more about you and what you're doing in the industry. And within 2 weeks, it led to a sale.
Oh, that's great.
So answers.
Follow up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just to sum up, it was just, you know, make a small touch comment, then follow up with a message. And then it really flowed very well.
Excellent. I see you've answered both in the chat and here, but I'm curious. We got a question that came in asking if any of the panelists have landed significant new clients since the shutdown in mid-March. I guess significant is relevant. But Garrett, Gordon, any new business coming in, or is that still, you're still working on that part of the sales cycle?
You know, I might be a little unfair considering I'm only 10 months old, but we've landed two Fortune 50 companies and a massive government project that on the BPO side. Before the virus, I had 40 agents and really struggling to get off the ground to 225 agents, and it's there's no end. This 3 months I've ever had in my 22 years in this business.
You can try to top that, Garrett.
I've gotten significantly more business from an existing client in this situation. It's a direct result of how we've handled this situation and kept up with our work relative to other agencies that were receiving work. So this opportunity or this pandemic has really given us an opportunity and prove that not only are we able to sustain via during challenging times, but thrive. And you know, the fundamental sales process and what you're trying to prove to, whether it be existing clients or prospects, is you're trying to solve their needs. And as you continue to do that, whether it's via referrals or you know, new opportunities like I just got with an existing division of a client of mine, or a new division of an existing client. So as long as we continue to push forward, and those agencies that are able to survive and thrive through this, there's going to be a lot of opportunity on the other side of this thing.
Good hope for everybody. With respect to you know, you said that the extra business that has come in is a result of, you know, how your client has seen your company manage this crisis. Is that just in the results, or is that something you're communicating to them? This is what we've been doing, and they see it that way.
Yeah. So one thing that we've done during this pandemic, we've always had a client portal, but we enhanced it just prior to this happening. And we've got clients, we've made a concerted effort to get them more dialed in during this period, because everybody is so fragmented and they don't have access to the same materials that they might in the office. Now they're on our client portal and they're logging in from home, complete transparency to how we're working their files. And that has not only helped with, you know, the digital piece and allowing them to access this information from anywhere at any hour of the day, but it's also shown how we're working the files despite the current situation. And we've been completely transparent through this whole process. You know, when this initially was communicated and all the stay-at-home orders were coming down, we were transparent with our clients to say, for these next couple of weeks, we're going to take a little bit of a passive approach, because we didn't know what was coming down from legislation. And I think they really appreciated it, not only from a sensitivity standpoint and, you know, expectations, but they want to see that you're compassionate. They want to see that you're trying to help their consumers the same way that they would. And, you know, I think honesty is the best policy. So as long as you honest and you keep your clients and the people's best interest in mind, you can't go wrong.
Good advice. Another question has come in. Without trade shows, conference, how are you finding new leads in business? We've talked about sort of reaching out to your existing clients and sort of, but what about new clients and finding that name or finding that lead? What success or what tips have you put into practice so far? I guess off this time.
Sure. Well, just like I mentioned before, it's a good time to focus on some other things. So one of the best ways to create leads is by creating free lead magnets. And so, you know, this is a good topic to understand how do sales and marketing work in tandem together, because marketing is what we would use to get potential prospects to know, like, and trust us, whereas sales is more about making the deal and making the close. So in order to, say, build your funnel, if you're familiar with that type of terminology, a funnel being that gathering of leads that you may have, what you need to do is fish for those leads or go out and attract those leads through services like copywriting, create a lead magnet, put it out on social media for free, gather some email addresses that you can then follow up with. So one of the things that we did early on in like the first 3 weeks is we created all these new lead magnets. So one of them is called Super Connectors, and it's like three qualities of a super connector. So you can take like maybe a blog post that your company has written and you can expand it, take a deeper dive and send it out, have it all branded, you know, make it look nice, maybe through Canva. Canva is a really great tool to use. And then you put it out there. And then I think another thing, which is like to Mike's point, is being on a webinar or producing your own webinar is a great way to generate leads.
Excellent, thank you. I will tell you that I started these webinars years back as a lead magnet, as a way of trying to generate more email addresses. And this is, you know, this platform has grown from there. So I completely agree. I think webinars and content are a great tool, and I see more agencies using that. So if anyone's looking for information, definitely reach out, and Mary or I can help you with that. What about you, Garrett, Gordon? Any tips on how you're finding new leads, new potential targets?
You know, I'd like to share this because I feel like I'm trying to practice what I preach a little bit. I always tell my agents, you know, you learn more, you earn more. And not everybody knows exactly what this company does with their outsourcing, what that company does. The chances are we have friends that do. Many of our friends in the industry, I've always believed in us all helping one another. And this is one of those times where it's really proven to be valuable, that it comes back full circle. But believe it or not, research is really what has led leads my way. For example, you know, when India and the Philippines did those shutdowns, I knew agencies out there that had 90% of their work in both of those and that they might need some help. And, you know, whether they did or not, reaching out to them led to conversations that came back full circle because they knew people that did. You know, one of the things I was telling you a minute ago was about the government work. I mean, I was hearing people that had been let go from a local agency that were having a horrible time finding unemployment. And as a result of that, and I started to ask some questions, having to log on to the internet at 3 o'clock in the morning because it was so jam packed that it was not moving. Nobody would answer the phone. And, you know, things like that led to a multi-million dollar deal to help, you know, basically provide customer service to federal government in many states. So it's really just doing the research on who and how people are impacted and utilizing your network around you, because there may be a friend of yours out there that can't potentially handle a project that they've heard about, but you can. And that also has happened. So just keeping your finger on the pulse with everyone out there, letting it known to as much of your network exactly what you can handle and what you can do, while at the same time doing your own research to find out where the needs may be, and you'll be surprised at where it might land you.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on what Gordon said. I've used this as an opportunity to get my CRM in order. It's one of those things that, of course, I've always had a CRM, but it doesn't necessarily get updated all the time as it should. So I've really taken this time to properly notate all the conversations I'm having with leads and prioritize who could potentially use our help and our services in the future. And as Gordon said, as long as you keep good tabs on your contacts, both industry-wise and prospect-wise, that's going to go a long way in making your sales process and your sourcing and your prospecting a lot more efficient and effective down the road.
The processes that you three have put in place during the past 2 months, do you see yourself continuing to do that when conferences come back, when networking events come back, when in-person meetings are more feasible? Or do you see what you're doing now to be sort of temporary, to be replaced by what you were doing before once things kind of go back to being able to do that again? Gordon?
Our computers and do the research, and we might even get more done doing it this way. But I certainly hope that we could go back to the old way, because in my mind and heart with this business, it's all about relationships. It's all about memories. It's all about, you know, getting out there in the field and getting to know new people. And the, you know, you just, you, it's impossible to get to know people at the rate you can at a conference when everybody's in one place. You know, yeah, you could spread it out over time, but that's a dynamic that, you know, we'll never have remotely. However, we might have to get used to the fact that this could be a new way of life, a new way of doing things. I wouldn't mind saving the money and growing business this manner. I just feel it would remove for me personally that one thing I love so much about this industry, which of course is the people and that aspect of it. So do I think that, you know, it'll go back to the way it is 100%? No, I don't. Do I want it to go back? Yes. But are there positives and negatives? So without a crystal ball, there's no way to really know.
Excellent. Thanks. What about you, Garrett? What are you thinking? How you'll change once things sort of get back to normal, quote unquote?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the opportunity to actually network with folks again, like Gordon said. But there's certainly a lot of aspects that are going to stay from our current climate. This being one, the Zoom meetings are not going away, right? People see that this works and they're effective and we can get a lot done. So this is staying. I mentioned the online portal earlier. Part of the reason that I wanted to get that ingrained in my clients is so when they come back to work, they're still utilizing that online portal because it's beneficial to them and it's going to save resources and phone calls on my side from a servicing aspect. So, the reason I mentioned that is, you know, as technology has enabled us to do so much remote during this period and we don't need to leave our house for anything, there's a comfortability factor there. You know, as people have begun to order groceries online through this process, they see that it works. That's going to continue. The same goes for collections. As consumers and clients see that they don't need to meet with us in person all the time, they're going to be comfortable with the Zoom meeting. So I like Gordon, am very much looking forward to going out and shaking my client's hand and delivering some statements in person and getting back to the networking with all the wonderful individuals in our industry. We do have to prepare for a lot of that to be on hold for, you know, the next year or so. I don't have a crystal ball either, but, you know, it will come back at some point, I think. And, you know, we all look forward to that.
Are you looking forward to that, Mary? Are you planning on keeping doing what you've been doing and sort of replacing what you've done in the past?
So I'll speak up for all the, probably the only introvert in the, Mike, you're probably an introvert.
I am.
So, you know, if you're an introvert, you might look on this a little bit differently. There's a lot of cost involved in going to an event. And one of the things to kind of put this in perspective, that for an introvert, that's made it a little bit easier is I'm very outgoing. And so people think that that makes it easy for me. But the truth is that sometimes when I'm at a networking event, I can feel a bit awkward because there's so many people there and there's so many people wanting whoever's attention, that's the same person that you're wanting their attention. Do you guys know what I mean? And so what I have found is that by being able to reach out and have one-on-one meetings with people through Zoom, I don't always do Zoom, but even just a phone call, then I've got their 100% focused attention. The last event that I was at was ACA Spring Forum. Actually, Gordon and I were there together, and it just, you know, even when I had like people that I was supposed to talk to, I found I could get them for maybe 2 or 3 minutes and then, you know, the bar opens or their friend walks by or, you know, there's just distractions. And so for me, I just think, and again, it's a personality thing, but I think that I like the Zoom. I like what we're doing now. And I like the things that I'm learning. Another thing, because I know none of us have a crystal ball, but just this morning I was talking to my brother, Anthony Giuliani, and he told me that Argentina just extended their travel ban till September 8th. So you know, we don't have a lot of information to go on, but it seems like as soon as we think something's going to lift, you know, we start to get information that shows us that it's going to be a very cautious, slow reentry of the way life used to be. But at the same time, I do love going to conferences, mostly because I like to speak on stages.
Isn't that sort of anti-introvert doing that, going standing up on stage and talking in front of people?
I have no words. I used to be like so high on the extrovert. Like I was like 80, 90% extroverted. And then I don't know what happens. Maybe it's middle age, but all of a sudden I'm just like, I just changed. I don't know. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
From one introvert to another, you know, glad to have you on board. Another question's come in. Do you and your collectors normally work remotely? If not, do you think you will continue to work remotely, or will you and your staff be returning to the office to work? And if so, how soon? Gordon, we can all tell by the logo on your background, you're not in your bathroom. No. So sure, you're in an office. How is, you know, is everybody there? What's the plan there? What are you doing?
Well, right now we have, you know, we got a 22,000 square foot facility. And again, being new and not completely full has given me the opportunity to have plenty of social distancing. I did have to do some logistic changes to make sure that the people were not sitting next to each other. I just was fortunate enough to have it. Now, I will tell you, on top of that, we are in what is called the Medtronics complex. They're a big medical pharmaceutical provider. We're the only other company outside of Medtronics that is on this campus. So we have the benefit of Medtronics doing complete COVID screenings. You cannot get on without this little wristband. It's a different color every day. They take your temperature. They make sure that obviously you haven't traveled in 14 days, that you don't have any symptoms. And, you know, we tell our people to answer the questions very honestly. And we've had a few get sent away and have had to go home for a few days. I also have a few that are one that is pregnant, one that's wife was actually had her baby 2 days. I didn't let them come in. I did set them up from home, but 98% of my staff is here. And I had the feeling that if with the COVID screening, the distancing, the education, hand sanitizers and everything everywhere that, you know, in our infancy, being together and continue to do what we do, you know, was in the best interest of everyone, and it's worked out fantastic, and everybody has been extremely just very happy that we would continue business as usual.
I'll go on. That's next, right? We'll take those stickers and put hand sanitizer on. Put on hand sanitizer. How about you, Garrett? What's been the situation, your work situation and your office's work situation?
Yeah, so we are complying with the current stay-at-home order in Michigan right now and looking forward to getting back to the office once that's lifted. I personally feel that in the collection environment, in the call center environment, that team camaraderie is essential, and everybody is so much more uplifted and motivated in our office. And I've had a lot of conversations with our collectors over the past few weeks, and they're dying to get back at work. They're dying to be around each other again. And I don't know if it's because they got their kids running around the house or, you know, other distractions at home. But while I'm well aware of how productive someone can be working from home, I'm excited to get everybody back here at the office. And I do not foresee allowing a work from home policy for my company going forward. Now sales and business development people are a different story, but for collectors, I prefer that they're in the office under supervision and working together as a team, sharing ideas, sharing best practices, and motivating each other to do the best job possible every day.
Excellent. Mary, I want to shift gears. I know there was something you wanted to spend a few minutes talking about before we get too close to running out of time. Give you the time to do that. The five reasons why people buy. I know you wanted to spend some time talking about that.
I do. And I saw a question come in the chat about just to talk a little bit more about copywriting. So that's perfect because I can cover both of those with this five reasons why people buy. So, you know, as I said, I've been learning a lot about sales and copywriting, and copywriting is just it's basically a method of writing with an intention to persuade or influence an audience to a call to action. So a call to action could be sign up on your email list. It could be sign up for your webinar. It could be, you know, buy our product or book a call to have a meeting with a certain person. So it's just, I would call it influence. Form of writing. Now, what do you want to write about? Well, you want to write about these things. There are five reasons why people don't buy, or why people buy. And you have to kind of check the box of each one of these reasons. Okay. So the first reason is pretty obvious because they want to make more money. Okay. So five reasons why people want to buy. Reason number one is they want to make more money. So you write about, or, you know, if we could do like a journaling exercise, we would say, what are all the reasons that this company or prospect will make more money or save money as a result of using my product or service? Okay, so that's a really good one. And like, for example, my new product is online training for collectors. And so I could immediately list out a bunch of reasons if I brainstorm about how they're going to make money and how they're going to save money. Next is save time. So time is obviously a huge commodity. And so we want to make sure that we are speaking to how does our product or service save your client's time. Next one, this one was actually a surprise to me, but it's how do we avoid effort? So how does our product or service help our clients avoid effort? And I think if you're selling collection services, that's got to be huge. And it ties directly into the next one, which is how do we help our clients or prospects avoid pain? Because really nobody wants to do those collection calls. That's why they call us, because it can be an uncomfortable process. So how does your product or service help your customers avoid or escape physical pain or mental pain? And then the last one is how does your product or service make their lives more comfortable? So it was suggested to me to have these like on the top of my mind, like memorize them. Save money, make money, save time, avoid effort, avoid pain, and more comfort.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Garrett, Gordon, anything you want to add on top of that in terms of what you're emphasizing when you're selling or when you're marketing? Are those similar thought topics that you're looking to hit in your materials?
Yeah, I think one of the things is it's important not to oversell and underdeliver. If you know, with what's at stake and a lot of what is the type of work that's being, you know, kind of given out right now, it is critical work that I've seen a few scenarios where there was not enough bandwidth and there was a little bit of an underestimation of what the company could do. And so if I were to provide any advice other than what Mary had shared, is that you're selling what your company can do, what you're good at. Just don't make promises you can't deliver. And, you know, everybody should be all right. There's plenty of business out there for everyone. And everybody has their strong suits. Everybody has their capabilities. And everybody has their limit. And knowing that is critical. And I've also learned that from my past and mistakes I've made by overselling. So it just hasn't been an environment like this where overselling can create a serious domino effect for the client that could cause brand damage you don't want. So that's my advice.
I would just say I agree with everything Mary said and agree with what Gordon said just there. In an ability to innovate and think a little bit outside of the box, right now is a great time to bring different solutions to the table for clients because they are scrambling just like we are, right? So if you have the opportunity and there's a client that you've never done first party for, only third party, propose different ideas that can help them in and also give you the opportunity to expand your scope of service.
get creative. You know, I know not everybody has the opportunity to do that, but if you are in a situation where you've been looking to roll out a new product line or a new service, and you have the resources to support it, of course, it's a nice time to pivot a little bit and bring a different solution to the table.
Have you been able to do that in any way in terms of what you're offering your clients?
I have. We have a letter program, and it's kind of like an early out collection service that we've rolled out and expanded the scope for quite a few clients during this period, and it's been very well received. The results at this point are to be determined, but based on previous case studies that I was able to share with them, I think it'll be something that carries over and after this pandemic, and will continue to be a valuable resource for them to tap into.
Identifying those opportunities. Are you specifically asking clients or prospects, what are your pain points? Where are you having issues? Where can I help? Or is it something you're just sort of picking up in the natural course of a conversation with somebody and making a note, hey, I'm going to swing back around and offer this because he mentioned having issues with it.
So I'm asking these questions to gain clarity on their challenges during my pulse checks with them. So we talked about reaching out to clients, whether it be via Zoom or via phone call. And I've personally found that people are more available now than before. And I think it's because they are missing the connections, right? No one's out socializing. No one's out catching up with people the way that they typically do. So they enjoy the phone calls from business colleagues. And so first we catch up a little bit on personal lives and how everybody's doing and making sure everybody's healthy. And then we get into the challenges and what they could use help on. And I'll talk to how I can support that. So it's asking clarifying questions and then delivering solutions or proposing solutions that can help with those challenges. And as long as you're adding value and you're being helpful, there will always be a demand for your services.
We've talked a lot about how nobody's traveling anywhere right now or going to be for the foreseeable future. So I'm wondering, once you sort of identify who that decision maker is, has it been easier to get in touch with that person, either getting them, him or her, to respond to an email or a Zoom, set up a Zoom call or a phone call? Has that process been any easier because of this? Gordon.
I've had absolutely no issue. I think, to a certain extent, I think people are somewhat bored and having these conversations throughout the day I've had absolutely no problem reaching many people. Some that, we know how some clients can be, you'll hear from them, then you'll send an email and you'll wonder what's wrong because you haven't heard from them in 2 months. I'm talking to everybody right now. And my friends in the industry that I've spoken to are also having no issue. And ironically enough, the same goes with the consumers on a day-to-day basis. Our contact ratio is through the roof. So it's obvious that being from home, people like the company. So I would say, at least from my perspective, it's been no issue.
Barry, are you having a high batting average too when it comes to getting in touch with the people you're looking to reach out to?
I'm doing pretty well. I am not Gordon Beck and quadrupling the size of my company in just a couple of months. But I will say that I agree that people seem to be willing. And even if you don't know them, for example, sometimes you have to really walk through mud to get someone to give you 5 minutes. Whereas I have found that a nice introduction message on LinkedIn, they just seem to say yes right away. And so I think Gordon has a good perspective on that answer, that perhaps, people are just like missing actually having words come out of their mouth out loud. And so they're really excited anytime they get a chance to talk to someone. That being said, Mike, you and I should set up a call soon.
Absolutely. You mentioned LinkedIn. We've got a question that came in asking how successful each of you have found LinkedIn to be. I'm going to guess that's from a connection standpoint and a prospecting standpoint, or sort of staying in touch with your client standpoint. If I misunderstood or misconstrued the question, by all means, whoever asked it can share some additional context. But curious how effective you found that platform to be. Mary, you can go first.
Sure. Well, I have actually been a big fan of LinkedIn for a very long time for a number of reasons. I just feel like it's a very smart social media platform. I like it much better than Facebook. And some of the things that I love about LinkedIn is just how easy it is to grow your network. So you can reach out to people, you can connect with people, you can do a lot of writing, you can share content, and everything you share on LinkedIn will turn around and make you look really good. So you could even share, like, for example, I had a Forbes article I was featured in and other people shared that. But I noticed, like, if I share, say, James Altucher's content, that kind of makes me look really good. And you can get to know someone through LinkedIn. LinkedIn also has groups. Now, I don't see the kind of engagement in those LinkedIn groups. So for example, just yesterday, I was looking at in the credit and collections ARM industry, there's multiple groups, and one of them actually has 78,000 members. And I was kind of scrolling through the posts, and there was zero engagement. So one thing I will say about social media, especially with LinkedIn, is it's not about the volume of content, it's about the amount of engagement that you get back. So if you want to take a deep dive into LinkedIn, they also have a really great online learning tool. I'm told that Goldie Chan, see, I think it's Chen, C-H-E-N, she's a chick with green hair, you can't miss her, but I've told that she is the queen of LinkedIn, like as far as learning how to use LinkedIn. Goldie Chen.
I'm definitely writing her down because LinkedIn is somewhere I've been spending a lot more time these days too. Garrett, LinkedIn, is that something you're spending a lot of time on, more or less than you were before?
Well, I made note of this Goldie Chen, and I'm going to look her up. I love LinkedIn. I don't know if I use it effectively right now, because when I've received incoming messages from salespeople, they come off as a little bit opportunistic, and I don't think you want to be opportunistic during, you know, these sensitive times. You need to come through with an authentic connection. And if you're able to do that through LinkedIn, more power to you. You know, the content that Mary puts out there, I see it. I think it's excellent because she's adding value. She's posting her blogs. She's posting her articles, and those have great content. I don't know if you're going to land that big client by sending a direct message through LinkedIn, because I get those and I discard most of them. I discard pretty much 100% of them if there's not a mutual connection there. But it certainly is a great tool to build your professional network, and I love using it to keep in touch with you know, the different professionals that I've come across over the years.
And to add just to what Garrett said, I get those messages all the time. They're clearly spam. You know, they've written them out in a very spammy way, and you could just tell that they sent the same message, you know, they almost word for word. It's like they're all using the same company for these spammy messages. So if you are going to reach out via a message, I think it's a good idea that you actually look at their profile and you say something like, hey, I noticed this about you, and, you know, let them know that you're asking to connect because you noticed this thing and you think that you'd like to get them to know them better. So just to give you an idea, I've been 100% of the people I've asked for a meeting, I've gotten one.
Hmm. That's a good batting average.
That means I got a meeting. It doesn't mean,
right.
It means they were willing to get on the phone with me.
I think getting a meeting 100% of the time is pretty impressive in and of itself.
Thank you.
Gordon, how about you? Are you using LinkedIn?
I'm not afraid to admit that social media terrifies me. I don't have any social media really except for LinkedIn. And I only have that because I feel I need to have it. I don't post my own posts. If there's an article or something that needs to be shared, I send it to somebody. That big mistake on my behalf, because I believe it's very important right now. I believe that there's tons of business to be had through it. I agree with Mary. I also agree with Garrett that doing things in a way that's more personable, not so opportunistic, is critical. But big weakness of mine is social media. So I also wrote down Goldie's name here to maybe get some lessons.
Excellent. Well, we talked about opportunistic. Here's a question that came in that I think is pretty interesting. A number of organizations in healthcare have suspended their current collections. Has anyone on the panel had success engaging potential prospects during this? I'm concerned with contacting somebody too early and offending the target. Is that something that that you've come across, or that, you know, a concern you've had as you're reaching out to new prospects?
Well, you know, Garrett mentioned about thinking out of the box. And one of the things that I have done is right away when the pandemic first hit was, because I am a script writer, I started writing special COVID scripts. And we have been finding that these COVID scripts work really, really well. And it just goes right with my sort of collection model that I've already been using for years. But this particular scripting is working even better than I had expected it to. And so, I kind of let people know that I have very special scripting. So it's kind of letting them know, I think somebody mentioned this earlier, to say, what is the solution you're providing for them right now? So if you're reaching out and you have a solution that you think could help them right away, then I think that you probably get a little bit better of nibbles than if you're just like blanket trying to say, oh, let me talk to you about your, you know, collection department or something like that. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Garrett, Gordon, anything else you want to reach add to, you know, this concern about maybe reaching out to somebody too soon?
I would just say, you know, during this period, what you don't want to do is just completely slam on the brakes and halt your activity, right? Because that is reason for concern as well, or that is reason for them to forget about you and move on to another service provider, right? A lot of us are, When this all started, a lot of us were looking for direction from the government or looking direction from our boss as to what we could do. And it's pretty clear at this point that no one knows what's happening, right? None of us have a crystal ball. And if we wait for the government to tell us what we can do, then we might miss the boat, right? So don't halt your activity completely. Move forward, do so in a sensitive manner, and keep those touch points. As we've all discussed here today, people are willing to talk. They actually appreciate the conversation and the interaction right now. So as long as you don't come across with that opportunistic tone and know that, you know, as long as your values are clear, decision making's easy. So if you know what you're trying to deliver to that client, and you know that you can help them, and you know that you'll be able to add to their bottom line, save them on resources, you don't have to hesitate or be concerned or be nervous about reaching out during this time.
Good advice. Gordon, you mentioned, you know, the deals you've closed, you know, in the past few months. Have you noticed that the sales cycle has shortened than it, you know, than it used to, shorter than it used to be, because more people are around these days? Or is it because more people are, these are gaps in revenue that people are looking to make up for? But have you noticed that the sales cycle has the length of the sales cycle has changed?
So I will tell you that it's actually both. I've had just as many completely fall off the face of the earth as I have signed up. So it's not, you know, I don't think you can say it's gotten shorter or gotten longer. I think it just depends on the situation. Two of the big deals that I was able to land are deals that had an immediate need, and one is one that I had working already. So, yes, if they have the need, it's going to go by much faster. As a matter of fact, those two I'm talking about, we were the fastest agency to board in the history of their company. So that is bodes true. But there are just as many people that this pandemic has created havoc in their workspace. And that havoc has basically caused them to either fall off the face of the earth or stop procurement altogether. And that could in turn lengthen the process if they don't get their ducks in a row and get back to business as usual, whether it's from home or not. So it could be both ends of the stick there.
Okay. Garrett, Mary, anything you've noticed in terms of changes in the length of the sales cycle?
My personal experience, it's been a little bit longer, you know, for at least clients that will move the needle, larger clients, because they're fragmented. I've been on a number of Zoom calls regarding RFPs, and I think with everybody dispersed and at home, decision-making is taking a little bit longer than it usually would. And also just other priorities at the moment. As Gordon said, there's clients out there that have a direct need. They might be able to move faster a little bit quicker. If other clients run a RFP every 2 years, you know, it might get put on the back burner a little bit right now.
I think it's a brilliant question. And I want to mention that the luck that I've said that I've had or the success that I've had has been more on the side of my Collection Advantage online training program than it has been for the collection agency. So on the collection agency side of things, that's been more challenging. And what I look forward to happening or what I believe that will happen, you know, if I think back to the last two economic I don't know what you call things, a recession, the last two economic challenges we've had in our country, which are the real estate bubble, which was terrible in my area. And then as far as, you know, you can go back all the way to 9/11, right? Like that was a challenging economic time. But what I noticed, the pattern was that things might have been difficult right during, but for a while afterwards, I think that we're going to look forward to a surge of extra accounts being turned over because it's going to take a long time to get this sorted. I don't know if you guys remember, but I certainly do. When they said in 2008 that it was going to take until 2012 for the economy to restabilize, I thought, that is crazy talk. What are you talking about? That is never going to happen. And you know what? It absolutely did happen. And I think that we're going to have similar challenges. But I think that in my career, what I've noticed is that we get these times where there's an economic downfall, we get lots of accounts turned over to collections, but our recovery percentage might go lower because people don't have the money to pay. But then as the economy begins to like slide the other direction, which we're all hoping that, you know, we're all hoping that it's going to happen fast, but we don't know the answer to that yet. But that's when you become a cash cow. And I am certainly looking forward to those cash cow days because I know that they're coming.
Sounds good to me. I can't wait for them myself. Well, we've just about run out of time, but what I'd like to do is go around the panel one more time and maybe get parting words of wisdom, summary of what you talked about, maybe something, a talking point or two you wanted to address but didn't get a chance to. But just to give each panelist a chance to make some concluding remarks. Garrett, we'll let you go first.
I'll just start by saying, make sure in all your interactions, whether it's with an existing client or a prospect, add value, be helpful, and deliver that value. And right now, it is critical to prepare so you don't need.
Excellent. Well said. Gordon?
No, all I would say is that, you know, either the clients have a need or they don't. I mean, there's nothing at this point in time that anyone's going to say to a client that's going to make them have a need. So, you know, just understand and realize that that is a certain percentage and you're going to have to do a lot of research and talk to a lot of people to find the ones that have those needs. And most importantly, just be patient as we work through this together. It's never easy for the collection business, ever. But we're the best at handling adversity, and no matter what you do from sales to ops and everything in between, we will overcome it.
Well said. Thank you. Mary?
I think it's an important time to remember that it's a difficult time. And so maybe don't be so hard on yourself if sales aren't going the direction that you want them to. And I highly recommend that you take this time to really invest in some educational tools for yourself. So whether you make it a goal to learn LinkedIn, or maybe learn how to present a webinar or do a video that you can put on social media, I really recommend you doing those things. And I heard a quote the other day that said, success is 20% learning, 80% implementation and action. And so maybe right now it's a good time to invest in that 20% learning cycle so that you can strike while the iron's hot, but you're striking with some new tools for yourself that you can get excited about implementing. Because, you know, sometimes even just daily motivation right now can be challenging for some people. I actually got a call from someone in the industry earlier today who was quite sad, and she just wanted to talk. And so, you know, just, you know, like some people are really going through some tough times. And I'm so thankful for how Mike has been keeping us all together on these calls. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, Garrett, Gordon, Mike, Mary, thank you so much for taking the time and walking us through this topic today. Really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your insights and your tips. I think it was a big help for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. We've got webinars coming up tomorrow on transitioning your training to online. We've got a webinar on Thursday on what's working in collections. And we've got webinar. I've got webinars I'm working on for Friday and Tuesday. So stay tuned. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for your participation. Stay safe, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Take care.
Thank you.